Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. There's someone in my life who has no actual friendship or mentorship type of relationship with me. I'd consider them a stranger, acquaintances at best. Yet this person feels it their duty to call me out on every sin they ever see me commit. Examples: I get frustrated baking a pie, or they have a personal conviction that something is sinful, like alcohol, that isn't laid out in the Bible as sinful, and yet they tell me I'm in sin over it anyway. To me, it feels so harsh and judgmental. There's no love or attempt to know me or coming alongside. It's all lectures, and it makes me mad. But I also do want to be humble and grow and put out sin. I don't feel I have the authority to talk to this person about it. Think an older relative I must respect. But if they keep this up, I feel I'm eventually going to explode at them. What do I do?
This is a great question. Kyle, have you ever received correction that was a little hard to take?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How often?
Oh, man. Well,
like all the time?
All the time.
Yeah. I receive correction that's hard to take all the time.
Yeah.
And this is like a thing in my life that I pray about constantly. I pray about it constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I love the question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I may answer this question in a little bit different way than the questioner might have anticipated and other people might anticipate. So we may have a surprise in store here.
Like surprises.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start by saying we need to strive to see God as the ultimate agent working in our life.
This principle, seeing God as the ultimate agent working in your life, this is helpful in situations like this because it is really easy to convince ourselves that if someone hasn't earned the right to be used in our lives, they can't be used in our lives. So we may think to ourselves things like, so-and-so doesn't love me, so I'm going to discount what they say about me. Well, the people who love you are not going to be the only people who see you correctly. Mm-hmm. And if you silence everyone but the people who you feel like love you or who are affirming to you, you're really limiting the voices of correction in your life. And why that's a bad idea, we'll see in just a minute, okay? But when you recognize God as the ultimate mover of all things, then you can see how, wow, even people who don't know you very well or even people who don't care for you might be used by a sovereign God to chisel you. I mean, don't we see God using even evil people in the Bible to bring correction and judgment and blessings on his people? You remember Balaam? Mm-hmm. Balaam the donkey guy? So Balak, the king of Moab, asked Balaam to curse the Israelites. Balaam said several times, "You look, I can only say what Yahweh tells me to say." And so Balaam eventually ends up blessing the Israelites three times. And we might think, wow, Balaam was a great guy because he refused to say anything nasty about Israel. Well, no, actually, Balaam was an evil guy. He was evil. 2 Peter 2, Revelation 2 testified to the fact that Balaam was evil, but our sovereign God used that evil man as a mouthpiece to bring a blessing on his people. So there are other examples of this in the scripture. I'm just pulling that one out, okay? I would just be careful not to count out God using someone like the person described in this question. I mean, it sounds like the questioner might be trying to talk themselves into counting that out as a possibility. There's some language in the question that may indicate an assumption that a person has to be a close friend or a mentor or have a godly motive in order to be used in one's life. So here's some of the language in the question that leads me to think maybe that's happening. The questioner says, there's no actual friendship or mentorship here. I'd consider them a stranger, an acquaintance at best. There's no love or attempt to know me or coming alongside. That may be the case, but think of God as the one who is doing this good for you. God is sovereign. He can use a donkey. He can use an evil man like Balaam. He can use anybody to help you. And we know from Romans 8:28-30. He uses everything to do you good. So in this situation, don't count out the fact that God might be actually using this person to help you. He can use anyone.
Yeah, and we should value correction of all kinds as if it contained gold.
This is not natural, is it?
No.
No. This necessitates a Holy Spirit switching of a flip in our flipping of a switch in our brains, okay? But think of it this way. If we love Jesus, who do we want to be like? We want to be like Jesus, right? If we want to be like Jesus, we will desire correction. We just want to know, okay, where am I not like him? Because I want to be like him so badly. When someone comes to me with correction, then I should embrace it as a potential gold mine of progress toward Christ's likeness. And I should mine it for every possible accuracy regarding how I'm falling short of his image. I mean, I should be thankful for correction.
And most people aren't going to give you correction, too. At least when I look at myself, I'm so afraid sometimes to give correction. So if you're even receiving it to begin with, you should be like, wow, I need to take this as an opportunity and mine that for gold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for sure. And listen to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is so clear about this. We should value correction. I'm just going to give you a few verses here, okay? 10:17, the one who follows instruction is on the path to life, but the one who rejects correction goes astray. Proverbs 12:1, one who hates correction is stupid. Now, that has pricked me more than once, okay? One who hates correction is stupid.
Are you now, stupid?
I mean, the Bible's calling us all of us stupid here. Now, why would that be stupid? Because don't we want to be like Jesus? If you don't like a correction, then you're not going to be more like Jesus. And Proverbs is a book of wisdom. If you don't like correction, you don't like wisdom. You like folly. You like trouble, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Proverbs 15:10, the one who hates correction will die. it's a little dark, right?
You're stupid. You're going to die.
Proverbs 15:31-32, an ear that listens to life-giving rebukes will be at home among the wise. Anyone who ignores instruction despises himself, but whoever listens to correction acquires good sense. Okay, there's like two things in those verses that I love. I love the phrase life-giving rebukes. I love that. And I love this idea that if you ignore instruction, you despise yourself. The opposite of that would be like if I love myself, I love instruction, right?
Right.
There's a lot more to this effect about correction in Proverbs. So that was just a sample. I find it interesting as I read Proverbs that there's very little to classify the motive of correction in Proverbs. It just seems to say, look, value correction in general. But how can that be? Is it possible that any correction would be valuable to us? I would argue that yes, any correction would be valuable.
Yeah, we should say even mean-spirited correction can be accurate.
That may sound just outrageous, but it's true. Remember that we're looking for correction to show us how we're not like Jesus, so that we can become more like him. Well, people who don't like us and who even want to hurt our feelings can be dead right about how we're not like Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had people who seem to be intentionally trying to hurt me say things to me about my character that was accurate. Now, if Christ's likeness is more valuable to me than my pride, I should be thankful even for mean-spirited, unloving, but accurate correction because it points out problems in my character so that I can become more like the Lord. I mean, I really have to ask myself, what is the most important thing to me here? Do I want to be like the Lord or do I want to preserve my pride?
Yeah, and shockingly, even inaccurate correction can be helpful.
Yeah, that almost seems more strange than the idea that mean-spirited correction can be helpful. Inaccurate correction can be helpful. When someone corrects me, and they're wrong, That is, they're telling me that I've done something wrong or that I've got a problem with my character, and they're not being accurate or that they've got it all wrong. I don't have that particular deficiency of character. Even that kind of correction is helpful. How's that possible? Inaccurate correction, whether loving or mean-spirited, can help me because it trains my powers of discernment and it trains my patience. When I'm unjustly corrected, it builds my patience muscles. We get so worked up over injustice. Injustice is good for the patience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been benefited greatly from being misunderstood and unjustly criticized. It also sharpens my powers of discernment and biblical reasoning. So the questioner here mentions that this person occasionally confronts about issues that aren't really sin issues. Well, isn't it good to get practice reasoning through those things? If someone brings something to me and I go to the scriptures about it and search the scriptures and, you know, is this sinful? And then pray and scrutinize my conscience before the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? Hasn't that helped me to nail down a biblical issue versus a conscience issue versus a wisdom issue? I may end up disagreeing with that person that's confronted me, but haven't they been used by the Lord to sharpen me? That even that inaccurate correction can be helpful. And you know what? Occasionally, I will benefit from that rarest of correction that we all say we want, which is a loving, accurate correction. I'm not sure that we all do actually want it like we say we want, but occasionally we'll get it. It is rare, I believe. But if I limit myself to only loving, accurate correction, I drastically minimize the potential for growth that can come from people working in my life. All correction can help me. And so I should be like a correction junkie. The question is, how do I get there?
Yeah, I mean, to recognize pride as the great killer of progress toward Christlikeness.
That's right. Why does it make us so mad when people correct us? The answer is our own pride. That mm-hmm. is the only explanation for why it would make us so angry. Why are you so upset at this person? Ask yourself, why? It's not them, it's you. They have insulted the sovereign nation of your heart. And that really is wrong language theologically. Christ rules the hearts of believers. But we tend to go back and live like he doesn't, though. So we need to constantly regard the Lord Jesus as holy on the throne of our hearts and love him above all things. Keeping the gospel in front of ourselves is so important. We have these sinful tendencies that are filthy. Pride would keep that junk in place. We need to think about that regularly, and we need to think about how lovely Jesus is and how much better and pleasurable it is to let him have his way. Let's admit that there's very little about us that couldn't stand to be changed for the better. So meditate on your sinfulness. Meditate on Christ's loveliness. There is nothing in the old man worth salvaging. Put on Christ. Regard every bit of correction as helpful, a blessing under the hand of a sovereign God. My counsel to the person asking this question would be, don't rage against this person, but pray that the Lord would help you to have a completely different way of thinking about this, that the Lord is working in your life. And be thankful for every piece of correction that you get.
Yeah. Anytime we have an opportunity to grow in humility, it's like a wonderful thing. Because, I mean, I've read and truly believe that like pride is like the root of all sin. I mean,
oh, yeah, it is for sure.
Terrible.
It is. Yeah.
And you're not really going to deal with your pride very well when you're just left to yourself because you're your biggest fan. And
oh, for sure.
When you correct yourself, you don't see your weaknesses. So even in this situation, you should be like, what a wonderful opportunity to, every time that I feel that pride rise up, to put it to death and watch as the Lord changes your heart and how freeing that is.
Oh, yeah.
To just have that freedom of thinking of yourself less.
Yes.
Even if it means your reputation is ruined. I would take humility over that.
Oh, for sure. I'm really glad that you brought that up. We all have 1,001 ways of discounting correction that comes at us. Because we're prideful, we don't want to hear it. Mm. We have to recognize that that's the case, and put it down and realize that, hey, this is actually good for me. Mm. This is good for me. It's good for me to be less like me and more like Jesus. So everything that knocks off a piece of me, this inherently sinful me, is a really good thing. It should make me excited.
Amen. Yeah.
And so when I get direction, I should be mining that for any kind of value and almost be disappointed when the person is inaccurate in it, you know? But then be thankful, well, at least the Lord gave me a repetition working on my patience and discernment.
Yeah. Not to drag this on any further, but if we were in Jesus' shoes, we would have called down those legions of angels repeatedly.
Oh,
like, do you know who I am?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And instead, he just took the beating and
and
saved our souls through that.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Well, as always, we hope you find this episode helpful. And until next time. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.